Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the prophetic experience, where the word of the Lord comes alive, with nationally known prophet Laron Matthews. Prophet Matthews has prophesied to Kurt Franklin, Ty Trabet, Bishop Rance Allen, many world leaders, just to name a few, and he welcomes the international world and families to his ministry. He recognized the pains, hurts, disappointment, and needs of the people through love, faith, prayer, and communication. God has anointed Prophet Matthews to be able to meet the challenges of a generation and people searching for an authentic message that reaches a pressure-filled life with the strength of God's love for them. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the service. God bless you.
This conference is being recorded.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. Welcome to another awesome, powerful Monday night prayer where the word of the Lord comes alive. So get ready to hear a word from the Lord. Open up your hearts to receive, your mind to receive what thus say the Lord tonight. Call a friend, text a friend, email a friend, invite them to hear a word from the Lord. So get ready for your breakthrough, whatever you stand in need of. Know God got it. Know he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. So get ready, get your pencil and paper ready to hear a word from the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Scripture reference shall be taken from 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, verses 9 unto 12, unto 13. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may not, by your good works, they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word, and the word of the Lord is blessed. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We come to welcome the Holy Spirit to rule and reign on this line tonight, to drive out every spirit that's not of the Holy Spirit, and welcome the Holy Spirit to rule and reign, because this is the day the Lord has made, and I did rejoice and was glad in it. So we just come to stop by to say thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy, how it sustained us through this day, how it kept us from seen and unseen danger. And we just stop by to say thank you, and we give you the praise, we give you the glory, because, Father, without you, we are nothing. Without you, we can do nothing. If it had not been for you waking us up this morning, clothing us in our right mind, the mind to know who we are, who we belong to. We belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's our bright morning star in a dark situation. And we just stop by to say thank you. Have your way tonight, Lord God. Your will be done. Not my will. Not my way, but your way. Have your way this night in the mighty name of Jesus. And we thank you for our children. We thank you for our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. We thank you for putting the right people in their path that will continuously draw them to you and not snatch them from you. And we just stop by to say thank you. We thank you and praise your name that you are married to the backslider. Slide them back to you, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, we give you the praise, we give you the glory, because you have no favorite child. You love us all equally, and we say thank you for loving us when we didn't love ourselves. We say thank you for our breakthroughs. We thank you for being better and not bitter. We praise you for being the victor and no longer the victim. Oh, bless his name with me tonight. He's worthy to be praised. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb of God, because when I look back over my life, I can truly say that I am blessed, that I am a walking testimony. I know him as Dr. Jesus. I know him as a healer. I know him as a deliverer. In the mighty name of Jesus, healing is the children's bread. Healing belongs to us on this side. In the mighty name of Jesus, he heals. He delivers from cancer, depression, oppression, rejection. He's an awesome God. He's an awesome Father, and we just stop by to say thank you, Lord. Your word said, if you be lifted up, you will draw all men unto you. So we come to lift you up tonight. We come to magnify you tonight. We come to say thank you, hallelujah, to the Lamb of God, that he laid his life down for us so we can live and have our being. Oh, we say thank you, Lord. Oh, we bless his name tonight. Knowing that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Every tongue rise up shall be condemned. Have your way tonight, Lord God. Deliver and set us free in our mind, body, soul, and spirit. In your precious Son, Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and hallelujah to the Lamb of God.
Come to give thanks. Praise unto you, O God, for you are mighty, O God. We come to give you glory and honor and praise unto your name, God, because you are good, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, that we can come together once again on this wonderful Monday, O God, to come into your presence, O God. We enter your gates with thanksgiving, God. We enter your courts with praise, God, giving you the glory and honor and praise that is due unto your name, God, for you have kept us, Lord God. You sustained us, Lord God. We thank you that you are the sustainer of our minds, of our heart and our spirit, O God. We praise your name, God. We glorify you and we magnify you, O God. We thank you, Lord God, that you are great, O God, and mighty in battle, O God. We come to glorify you and to magnify your name, Lord God. We come to lift up a sound, Lord God, will be glorious unto your ear gates, O God, in the name of Jesus. O God, we pray that you will hear our sound, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord God, let our praise, Lord God, be a sweet savior to your nostrils in the name of Jesus. O God, that as we give, O God, ourselves to you, O God, we deny ourselves, O God, Lord God, and that you be lifted up in the name of Jesus. O God, for you are great, God, and you do wondrous works, O God. You are God alone, O God, and there is none beside you, O God. We thank you, Lord God, that we are blessed, O God, and we, Lord God, give you the praise and glory, O God. Bless and affectionately praise the Lord, O God. O God, because you are the Lord of hosts, O God. You are the King of glory, O God. We come to bless you and glorify you, O God. O God, we come to exalt your name, God. May your name be high and lifted up, O God, that, O Lord God, will take away the distorted sounds in the name of Jesus. O God, because we are reminded, O God, that you are great, God. You are clothed in splendor and majesty, O God. And we come, Lord God, not to come in any kind of form or fashion, O God, but we come, Lord God, humbling ourselves before you, O God, God, Lord God, bound before you, God, in the name of Jesus, asking that you will show yourself strong and mightily on this line in the name of Jesus. God, we know that you're able to meet every need in the name of Jesus. O God, we ask that you will forgive us of our sins, God. Wash us and cleanse us and purify us once again, God. Purify ourselves, O God. Purify our churches, O God. Purify our cities and our lands, God, in the name of Jesus. But we'll repent, O God, in the name of Jesus, of the wicked things that the world is doing, O God. And we ask, Lord God, that you will save us once again, God, in the name of Jesus. Look upon your people, O God, that are crying out, Lord God, in the midnight hour, God. Those that are crying, Lord God, throughout the day, God. God, they are hungry and thirsty for you, O God, and they're tired of the world, Lord God, beating them up, O God. But we pray in the name of Jesus that they will get to know you, God, in the name of Jesus, and knowing that you are saving power, God, that your grace and your mercy is sufficient for thee in the name of Jesus. Oh God, that they will cry and run to you in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we thank you, Lord God, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are Lord in the name of Jesus. What must we do to be saved in the name of Jesus? Call on the name of Jesus.
Jesus. In Jesus' name, and God, we know that you are answer, God. In the name of Jesus, there's nothing, Lord God, that you cannot do, God. You're able to heal and to deliver and to set free, oh God. And so, Lord, we come, oh God, with thanksgiving, God, thanking you for being a loving and forgiving God, oh God, because you remind us if we confess our sins, God, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, oh God. Oh God, help us not to forget where we came from, God. For, Lord God, such was some of us, God, that was wicked and confused, oh God, and in our inward sins, oh God, even on the inside of us, oh God. But God, remind us, oh God, where we once was, God, so that we can have, Lord God, a greater appreciation for what you're doing, God. In the name of Jesus, for we know that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your spirit, oh God, that you pulled us out of the miry clay, God. And we thank you, Lord God, that you're doing it again, God. Oh God, we come to bless you. We come to glorify you. We thank you that you are a healer and a deliverer, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, that you're healing us all over, oh God, from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet, Lord God. We claim our healing, Lord God. We claim our deliverance in the name of Jesus. For we shall walk by faith and not by sight in this hour and this season, God. We will, Lord God, know, Lord God, that we will be the head and not the tail in this hour and this season, Lord God. For you have given us the power, oh God. You have given us the keys to the kingdom, oh God. And we bind the hands of the enemy in the name of Jesus. And we bind his mouth in the name of Jesus, that whatever he tries to put against the people of God will not prosper in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you that you're building a hedge of protection about your people right now, God. That, Lord God, wherever they go, wherever they walk, oh God, they will be protected, God. Because you, God, said, if you be for us, who can be against us in the name of Jesus? Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. And so, Lord, we thank you that we are loved by you, God, even in our imperfections, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, that we know a God that is mighty in battle, oh God. We never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging for bread, God. And we thank you that your word will never return void, God. You are the lifter of our head, God. You are the lover of our soul, God. And so we submit ourselves to you, God. We surrender our will to you, God, in the name of Jesus, as we walk by faith and not by sight, God. We know, Lord God, that we know that we are in the right place, God. Thank you for aligning us back up into your place, oh God, where we can hear you sound clear, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we pray that you will break the chains off of the lives of those that are bound right now in the name of Jesus. Oh God, we know, Lord God, that you're able to do it, God, because your word said you would, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we know that there is nothing that is too hard for you, God, and we thank you that when two or three are gathered in your name, God, you will be in the midst, God, and one could put 1,000 to flight, but two could put 10,000 to flight, God, and so send your angel, God, in the name of Jesus, and rescue your children, God, those that are, Lord God, stuck in a place where they can't get out, God, in the name of Jesus, whether it's in their mind, God, we thank you that you are mind regulator, God, and you're able to break the chains off of their minds. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord God, that those that are dealing with depression and oppression, God, shall be loosened in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that is the blood that never lost its power, God, but we plead the blood of Jesus over this line right now, God, that you will resurrect those dead things inside of your people right now, God, to give them, a fighting chance of God, to fight for what they need, God, in the name of Jesus. Let them shake off the old in the name of Jesus, and let them come into the new, God, for we know that everything that you do, God, you will, God. We bless you, and we glorify you. Thank you for those that are coming on the line tonight, God. Use, Lord God, the men of God, as you bring forth the word in Jesus' name. Bring forth the questions, God, where those that are inquiring minds, Lord God, their minds can be set free from every, Lord God, talk of confusion, God, in the name of Jesus. For we know, Lord God, that every time your word comes forth, God, it shall come alive, God. Let it come alive in your people today, God. We thank you that you're drawing your people back to you, God, even those that have stayed away, God. We glorify you and we give you praise, God. We thank you that you canceled cancer, God, in the name of Jesus. It has no dwelling in the people, Lord God. It has no dwelling in the house of God, in the name of Jesus, trying to eat away the people of God, but it will not prosper in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, that you're stopping it in its tracks because your blood is there, God, and we give you the glory and the honor and praise. In Jesus' matchless name we pray, amen.
Prophet Laron Matthews and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries would like to thank you for your prayers and support. Prophet Matthews invites you to become a monthly partner to help reach souls of the nations all around the world. As a monthly partner with Prophet Laron Matthews and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries, you will be a vital part of the powerful end-time army that God is raising up to bring salvation, healing, and deliverance to the nations of this world. To help accomplish our God-ordained vision, you can sow your seed at www.WeRestoreYou.org. That's WeRestoreTheLetterU.org. Or call 708-377-6774. Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries is a 501c3 tax-exempt ministry. God bless you.
The noise of my day, the depression that steals my voice, the confusion that arrests my life, so I can't even make a choice. Life seems so loud, I've been too proud. So Lord, what do I do? I just need a word from you. Oh, I need a word. Tell me which way to turn. I need a word. Tell me which way I should go. I need a word to tell me just what to do. Please send the word. God, I need to hear from you. Drown out the noise. Let me hear your voice. I need a word. Got bad news. Light just darkened my day. My family's in need, and I just can't seem to make a way. Oh, life seems so loud. I've been too proud, but I'm asking you now. Tell me which way to turn. I need a word. Tell me which way I should go. I need a word. Tell me what should I do, Lord. I need a word. I need a word from you. Drown out the noise. Let me hear your voice. God, oh, stand still and believe you'll work it out. Oh, stand still and see my victory walk right in. Come with you, I will win. I need a word. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I need your word. No weapon formed against me shall be able to prosper. Drown out the noise. Let me hear your voice. I need a word from you.
Good evening. We welcome you to the Monday Night Prophetic Experience, where the word of the Lord comes alive.
with our overseer and teacher, Dr. LaRon Matthews. If this is your first time visiting the Monday Night Prophetic Experience, we extend a very special welcome to you. And if you desire to know more about the ministry, please feel free to visit the ministry website at www.werestoretheletteru.org, or you can email us at laronmatthewsministries@gmail.com, or you can call the corporate office as well at 877-912-2027. Our vision for the prophetic conference line is taken from Habakkuk 2, 1 through 4, to communicate the life of God to his people and change the world with one touch of dialing the phone, to become a voice of healing, reconciliation, and strength to a generation that has lost touch with church business as usual and are in need of kingdom leaders at heart that will allow them to become open to communicate their heart about any forces that will force them from seeing God as holy and his promise for the total person through teaching, training, prophesying, and activating the sight of God within the person, written by Dr. LaRon Matthews. Again, we welcome you to the Monday Night Prophetic Experience, where the word of the Lord, it truly comes alive. God bless you.
Good evening. God bless each and every one of you all for joining us tonight. And I welcome you tonight to another prophetic experience teaching where the word of the Lord comes alive. I am prophet and teacher LaRon Matthews. And we thank each and every one of you all for joining us on this day. This is a day the Lord has established and made that we may rejoice and be glad in it. From the rising of the sun to the going down day of his name is worthy to be praised. And this has been one of those days that the prophet has been actively active, doing so many things in the cities, towns, and nations around us. So we bless the Lord today for all that he's doing. And we want to give God all of the praise, the glory, and the honor for all that he is to us. Tonight, I need you all to keep my family in your prayers. We had loss of a loved one on this past weekend, so we're praying for my dad and his side of the family and his sister's side of the family and the loss of her husband. And we had another challenge today. One of my niece's homes where she was staying was burnt completely down. We just thanking God for her being alive. As I told her, we thank God that she's here and she's alive with the health and strength of mind and thoughts and everything working 100%. So we bless God for that as well today. And we just thank God for all that the Lord is doing. That's why prayer is the essence of everything you do. This is a time that everybody must pray. It can't be just one person praying for somebody sitting back and say, well, I need you to pray for me. No, everybody got to gather the roots now. Everybody has to stand in the gap and make up the head. We all have to pray together and take on the kingdom of darkness. Important to the believers and to those that are believers, because we're as a corporate team in unity and in a power of unanimity to stand with each other and do the work that we do in the kingdom of God. And it's so important that the believers have that clarity and understanding that we all are standing together. Not one I and little you. It's all a team effort building and establishing the work of the kingdom of God. And so we thank God for all of those great kingdom leaders that come weekly and daily to stand in the gap, pray, intercede, prophesy, minister the word of God. And we thank God for you all as well, too. And intercessors tonight, we bless God for your great work and the mandate on your life as well. So we certainly give God all the praise, the glory, and honor for you, you, and you, and you on tonight. So we're thanking God for your work and labor. All right, tonight, thank you, Administrator Brian, for sharing the vision and the mandate and the vision of the conference line. We're going to, tonight is open forum, so if you have any questions or comments for us on tonight, we're going to be able to take those questions and comments now. So if you have a question and comment for us, we're going to take that. If you're listening right now and you have a question for us now, those who are sitting here, we're going to take your questions and comments as well. So if you have a comment or question, yesterday we had a very powerful radio broadcast and television broadcast. We were talking about this is the season for the men and women of God to have the power. They have to see through their hearing, the ability to see through their hearing. You got to hear through your, you got to see through your hearing. In other words, that means that seeing with your natural eyes, not seeing. You got to see with your spiritual ear. The ear's got to be almost like a voice to be able to detect and know what is going on right now in the land and around the world. And so, and then we open up and talked about the coronavirus. No one heard about coronavirus until just the last 2 months. The last 2 months, we just start hearing about the word coronavirus. But it was always something in effect or cutting. I told the people in 2019, there's something coming in this month. And I told them in early 2019 that there's a plague in the land on its way here. I think lots of times when you share those things with the people, they hear you because they're so connected to you. They become common with you. When people become common with you, they said, yeah, that's the word, but that's just the prophet speaking. And so we hear him talking, but it's a little bit more than talk now. We're watching some things unveil. But I decoded and brought and explained some things yesterday, especially as it relates to the events of 2020 and the coronavirus. You can go over to my Facebook page and watch it as well as listen to what I release prophetically and apostolically to the people of God. So it's available to you. So you can go over there to the page, and there'll be so much information and detailed information that I released and shared with the people of God so that they will be aware of what's going on, what's happening, and what's unveiling around them. So it'll be in total detail. So go over there to listen to. You go to my Facebook page, look up Lorraine Matthews, and go to yesterday's service, yesterday morning, 11 a.m. worship experience, and it will tell you a little bit more. But I'm going to have Administrator Rita Bryan Administrator Bryan, if you will do those two commercials for us, and we're going to come right back if you would do that. Those who have questions and comments for me, as soon as we come back, you're on the blog side, we'll open up the line for the blog side. You can ask your question. You're on the conference line, we'll open up so you can ask your question and comment at that same time. Okay, Administrator Bryan, if you could do that.
Prophet Lauren Matthews and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries would like to thank you for your prayers and support. Prophet Matthews invites you to become a monthly partner to help reach souls of the nations all around the world. As a monthly partner with Prophet Lauren Matthews and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries, you will be a vital part of the powerful end-time army that God is raising up to bring salvation, healing, and deliverance to the nations of this world. To help accomplish our God-ordained vision, you can sow your seed at www.WeRestoreYou.org. That's WeRestoreTheLetterU.org. Or call 708-377-6774. Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries is a 501c3 tax-exempt ministry. God bless you.
You have reached Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries, located at 231 East 146th Street, Harvey, Illinois, where Dr. LaRon Matthews is the senior pastor. I'm sorry your call can't be answered at this time, but your call is very important. Please leave your name, your number, and a brief message, and your call will be returned. If you desire to join us for service, our schedule is as follows. Sunday school starts at 9:30 a.m. until 10:45 a.m. Sunday at 11 a.m., it's the worship experience. Tuesday night at 7 p.m., prophetic teaching. Thursday night at 7 p.m., prophetic prayer. Time of intimacy with the Lord. Fourth Friday night at 7 p.m., monthly prophetic explosion service. Go to our website at www.werestoreyou.org or email us at werestoreyou@yahoo.com.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. All right, people of God, we bless the Lord for you once again. Do we have any comments on the blog side, Administrator Brian? Do you have a question or comment over there?
We have a question that was emailed in right after that incident here in the state of Alabama, and they wanted to try to get some clarity on it if possible.
Okay, we'll definitely take that. Let me ask you something real quick. I want to make sure we don't have anything on the blog side right now at all, right, or the chat room, right?
No.
Okay. All right. Okay. Let me shift over real quickly to the conference line. Anyone have a question on the conference line or a comment for me right now on the conference line? Okay. All right, Apostle Simmons joining me tonight, Evangelist Wilkes. We bless the Lord for her as well tonight, joining us as well, too. Amen. Okay.
Amen. The email, I'm not sure, some may have heard about an Alabama pastor shoots wife, kills himself, an attempted murder, suicide. And this question came from a student. It says, an Alabama pastor shoots his wife in the church, kills himself after she preaches. I'm confused, first of all. Just listen to a little bit that was in the article. It said the lady preached like fire from heaven in the service, that the anointing was so high. Then it stated in the article, little did the prophetess know at the end of the service that night she would be forced to wrestle with death after the devil showed up in a deadly way. Church members said that the man was not a monster. Now, my question is, even though some in other articles it said that they were estranged, now my question is, fire from heaven was in the service. So was discernment not in the service as well if the anointing was so high? I'm a student and new to this. I'm just a little bit confused.
Amen. You want to share, Apostle?
Bless you, Prophet. Bless you, man of God.
Did you hear the question?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
And then the evangelist.
Powerful question, challenging question. We did get the chance to see the article that was out on social media. We definitely are living in the last days. And I could say to every person that's a leader, every person that's a believer that's on this conference line, none of us are exempt. We're still human. Getting back to that question that the student asked, was there any discernment after the prophetess preached such a powerful message and the atmosphere was ignited with fire? Was there any discernment in that, knowing that at that time, that she will be fighting there? Any time that you come into a high level of dimensions and ascensions in the realm of the spirit and dealing with the power and the anointing of God, those demons always shows up. And we must be prepared, as the student asks, for discernment. Sometimes we can get so fired up and so hyped up that sometimes we don't discern. We're just in the atmosphere of the excitement of what God is doing. And sometimes lose focus on what the enemy is up to, because he's definitely going to show up, and he's definitely going to try to plot and scheme. And that's why the scripture always reminds us that when the word comes forth, the enemy always is waiting to come to snatch away that word. So he's always plotting and planning his next move on anything that God is doing. He always tries to come to sabotage, to tear down, to destroy what God is establishing, set in place. So getting back to that question again, was there any discernment with the spirit being so high? I wasn't there in the sermon. We're just going based on what people was there saying. I can't say or know how the atmosphere was because I wasn't there. I'm just going based on hearsay. But getting back to why no discernment was there, after spirit or the height of the service, knowing that she's going to be challenged with this, knowing that this man of God was going to take his life, I believe, again, it's because the enemy, his assignment is to come to kill, steal, and destroy. I don't care how height we get, or how high we go, or how anointed we think we are, the devil's always going to show up to try to tear down, destroy what God has set in place. My assignment is to pray for that family, pray for the woman of God. I believe that she did not die from the incident. We're praying for that family, praying for that church family, for all of those that's connected. It's a 911. It's critical, and this is where we do have to have, like you said earlier, where we have to have intercessors, everybody praying right, so that we can recognize what the enemy is doing. So that's what I just take from, you know, of what transpired and from the student question. It's really hard to really say because you weren't in that atmosphere.
Yeah. I want to share a testimonial, and then I want to go answer the question. The word of God said God will never leave us ignorant concerning Satan's devices. He will not. He will not leave ignorant concerning Satan's devices. Totally, he will not leave me. Now, I'm going to share this testimonial with the people. 2009. 2009, everything is calm. Life is beautiful. People are smiling. The power of God did not leave the person and then run away. But the warning were there. The signs were there. And the person went over the sign. They went over the sign. And the reason they went over the sign is because the person they were married to is common. They were common with the person. When I say common, they were used to their little ups and downs, little challenges, little difficulty, and they got over that. But who would have known that one word was said concerning a matter between the couple? And out of stress, pain, suppression, rose up a spirit of murder in that household. And the person never thought he would or she would have a spirit of murder on them for a person. You never think that. We have so many people that are suppressing things in the church world now. They're married, they're single, but they're suppressing things that are inside them, deeply entrenched in them. Deeply entrenched, whether it's unforgiveness, harboring anger, rage, carrying things about other ministry people that they never release, but they keep saying, I'm going to go to God, I'm going to pray about it. That's good. But they never discuss the matter with the individual. So they see a person in church, we don't know why they're upset with that person, why they get frustrated. You get panic attack when you get around the individual. Or why at some moment in time they're waiting for one little thing to happen and it would trigger a reaction and that person would end up regretting it or having a prison ministry. The power of God moved, as the people said. The presence of God was there, as the people would say. The signs and wonders were there, as the people would say. But those are gifts, and those are calling, and they come without repentance. It doesn't change a man or a woman who has a rage inside of them, who has the anger. People know to mask the mask. They know how to mask the mask. So I'm sharing that because what I'm going to lead us up to. Now, I think Administrator Brian said the marriage was strained. I think he said that they said it was a strain.
A strain.
So that could be, that covers, that makes religion, it makes it a little bit more easier to say, okay, they had in a strange relationship, but they're married. They didn't say they had a love or a love affair, but it's a stranger. How many people have that, a strange relationship? I want you. I don't want no one else to have you. I need you in my life. I'm very jealous of you because you can move and flow in the power. But that spirit, I'm not going to let you go because I don't want anybody to have you. Compliment you. Great work. Powerful. But I carry a jealousy of rage. So in saying that, there were, I believe, as a servant, as a counselor, as a prophet of the Lord, an experience in this for over 27 years now, there were signs, but they went over the signs, and they did not get the signs and make the necessary transition and preparation. In the Bible, there is a scripture, I believe it's in the book of Revelation, maybe chapter 2, I believe it's the church at Pergamos, where the great Antipas went into an area of the church where the seat that Satan set in, the seat. Now think about that, the seat that Satan set in. When you translate that, it's the seat of mind. In some people's mind, they have a demonic presence in there that stays there. And at any moment, that seat, if you say something, trigger a reaction to that seat of that emotion, you will open up a door in a person like you had never thought. You would never think. You would never even fathom that person would do, say, or happen. So I don't believe she expected that. But there was some sign that was given. Because anybody in the body of Christ that's a believer gets signs. But we overlook those signs due to us not wanting to believe or feel that that's what God is showing. I don't think God would show me that about my mate. Boom. But it happened. I don't believe God would reveal, think, would show me that that would happen to that person. Boom. I don't believe that leader would ever do anything like that, but I know God showed me. Boom. When all of these things happen, people always say, they use the great term, man, that's not like them. You can't, we can't say that. Because, see, the spirit of the enemy and people, we're not discerning. We're caught up in the gifts and the talent and what they present to us. As I shared in this three-part series on interpretation, and I began with it in the book of Daniel, chapter 1, and I shared it last week. I shared it this past Sunday, portion of it, and even some now. The spirit world, there is an death attack or death sentence, and demonic spirits are at their highest level.
Breaking up for me.
People of God. Okay, sorry. At the highest level, these sharpshooters. Is that better, Minister Brown?
Yes, sir.
Is that better?
Okay. Yes, sir.
These sharpshooters in the spirit, they are at the highest level. And when that happened, the grace of God stepped in and saved her. But because whatever condition he was in and what happened, it came out. The spirit took him out because he thought she was there. So there was something there. There was something rising up. And any believer right that's listening in or somebody that's connected, you might have experienced something like that, but not to that magnitude. But you know God gave you a warning before you got close or dated or sat down or made a move. He already let you know. That small voice, that interpretation or the discernment told you something. But we went over it. And then somebody might have prophesied to you something from that place. And you said, well, the prophet gave me a word from the Lord that it was going to be okay. Okay? What did God say? So in saying that, there are things that are demonically inclined, that are forces, and I just put in a number of scenarios, and then I just gave a story, that these situations that exist, the body of believers have to discern. And I'm going to pause right here. Administrator Rita Bryan, good friend, I prophesied to her. What was it, 3 years ago, Administrator Bryan? 2 years ago when she killed, the man killed her.
No, my cousin.
Your cousin. Your cousin. And I was in the house prophesying to her about some things. Well, she said in her heart, in her mind, the man already told her what he was going to do to her. But she said in her heart, no, he ain't going to do that. He ain't going to do that. And she went right on into the death trap. I'm not saying it in that negative light. Please don't get me wrong. Thing. And what ended up happening? The man ended up taking her life. So God gives us warning and warning sign for us as believers. There are many signs that God gives us, but we go over those signs because we think we got the power over God to change the situation of a person, but we don't change people's free will. But people are going to do what they want to do, especially those who who are pretending or acting as if they got it, they say sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. So from that standpoint, the power of God did move. The presence of God did go forth. But the forces, but there was something deeper going on inside that was not dealt with or overlooked. That's all I'm saying.
There's a statement that says, well, Prophet Matthews, do you believe that some have mistakenly defined spiritual discernment as a God-given awareness of evil or good spiritual presences and the ability to tell if a demon is in the room? While some people may possess this capability, it is not the biblical meaning of discernment, is it? Spiritual discernment ultimately has to do with wisdom and the ability to distinguish truth from error.
Yeah, that's very true. And that's very true. It's like we could even use you for example, Minister about the gift God gave you, discerning as well. He gives me prophetic gift. Now, God has allowed me to see things. And I'm going to tell you a lot of things that hinder me when he allowed me to see it. Is the moment he let me see it, I may say, man, I don't want to see that. Demonic spirit said, okay, good. You want to be in denial of that. And it gives a demonic spirit an opportunity to present its case. So lots of times we see things, but we don't want to believe it that it's happening. And so we go over those things that we say, well, I got the Holy Spirit to say, address it. You'll come and you'll go around what the Holy Spirit says to you. Holy Spirit, I didn't tell you that. I told you to tell that person. And I found myself going around sugar with a coat on it. When God didn't say sugar coated, because I already warned this person. Now you give them a warning from me. And so many times I was sugarcoated. Now this season's a different era. And I would sugarcoat things and not deal with it. And then I end up seeing the results of the consequence, so other people see the consequence of that action of what God gave, or we too busy concerned about people feeling or concern. But certainly when God reveals something to you in the discernment, he discerns to you the good and the error. Absolutely.
Okay. And then we have a statement that says, great word, great question. My husband shot me 5 years ago, and I came to this line for advice before it happened. And there were signs, and I overlooked them, and I was given advice to get out from this line. We live a different life outside the home as opposed to going to church. I'm a minister as well, and we are human, and we do overlook it. Thank you so much for elaborating on the sermon.
Amen. Wow. Well, we bless the Lord that lives. We were able to touch a lot of, well, I ain't going to say able. We touched many lives via the conference line. Woman of God, thank you for sharing that as well, a person of interest. But we've dealt with a lot of people, concerns, and issues that are going on. So certainly, we thank God for that. I just wish you wouldn't have left the line. But a lot of times people, you know, they want the good news, Apostle Simmons, but the doom and gloom they don't want to receive. But when doom and gloom happen, then it is what it is.
So this
knowing I'm going to go ahead, Minister.
This question is to Apostle Simmons. So, Apostle, what should Christians do to develop spiritual discernment? We know that we must know the authentic so well that when the false appears, we can recognize it. So what advice would you give?
Good question. Well, I would say definitely get into a strong relationship with the Lord for yourself, not based on your religion, not based on the church that you are part of. I mean, it's good that you sit in it. It's great that you are sitting in a good Bible-based teaching church, a church where all of the gifts are in operation. But one thing that I encourage and tell people is that you must build a relationship with God for yourself. And I know that there are many people that are babes in Christ, many people just coming into salvation. Like prophet, like you said, even in the word say, God will not leave us ignorant to Satan's devices. And I would encourage, you know, all of the believers and listeners that are in, even those that have been in ministry and been in church for years, build your relationship with Jesus Christ for yourself. Build your quality prayer time, prayer life. Get in that word, pray and ask God to give you understanding of that word, because he will. He has no respect of person. There's some times that you have to get into meditation on God's word and meditation on the things of God. You won't just have to separate yourself from all of the distractions and the things that's going on around you. Because, again, I always say the 80-20 rule, 80% of the body of Christ, they really don't really spend that quality time with God for themselves. They wait to go to church on Sundays or go to Bible study whenever the doors are open. But all of the other leisure times, they ain't in that quiet time with God. And I know that many prophetic people, many apostolic people, they understand this, that in order for you to really walk in power and authority of the Spirit of God and have discernment that only comes from kingdom, born naturally, we all have discernment that, you know, we have things that we discern naturally and physically, but God also spiritually, because when he created us spiritually, he gives us a kingdom discernment where we discern truth from error, right from wrong. We discern what is not of God. That's why I tell people, man, I can recognize a person that would try to disguise himself as an angel of light or try to disguise himself. I would recognize after a while God will reveal it to me. He will reveal it to me, whether it's in my dream or whether it's in my quiet time or meditation with him. And again, I understand a lot of people have that gift and some don't, but as a believer, you have to build your relationship with God for yourself, because, again, if you base it on the church that you're connected to, on that religion that you're connected to, most of the time you ain't going to get all of the nuggets, the mysteries, and the revelation that you need from God for yourself. That's why you got to go and pray and talk to God for yourself. Let the Holy Spirit teach you, because that is your greatest teacher. Yes, he used great men and women of God to connect, to put into your life, to help you to understand certain errors in your life that they can pull and push on your gifts to teach and impart into you certain things that you will help to come into maturity and develop in your spiritual growth. But going back to something that you said, Prophet, you said one of the areas was that you felt was a hindrance was when God would speak something to you or show you something, you would not, you were kind of like, well, don't show you that. That's a lot of time warnings, and God always do send warnings before certain things do transpire, because I can testify to that, sure. That this just happened over this weekend, man of God, and I took an had a dream on Saturday night of this particular pastor in church. And God showed me everything in it, and he spoke some words. So it was just urgent in my spirit to call that pastor on Sunday morning before I went to church and before they went to their church service and release to them what I saw in the dream and what the Lord said. On last night, I got a call back from that pastor and said the prophecy came to pass. I moved in obedience and spoke to that leader what God revealed to me, because see what he was doing, he was sending warning. He was sending warning to that pastor, look, you must be alert that this is right here, whether it's going to happen now, whether it's going to happen 5 days from now, whether it's going to happen a year later. You need to be aware.
So I do believe that God always, like you said, he don't leave us ignorant to Satan's advice. He always send warning. And go back to that incident with the husband and wife. Like you said, there were signs there, signs that I'm in total agreement with you. Signs were there. But because many people in the church world, they do not discern. We get in our emotional height, you know how it is, especially in our culture. We get in an emotional height, and we have a high time in the Lord. Then we don't discern what the enemy is up to do next. So we so caught up on the high that we're not even planning or discerning to recognize what the enemy is plotting up against us next. We know to pray. We know intercessors is key. Prayer words, we know all that's key. But spending quality time with God, man, that definitely gives us discernment to recognize what the enemy is doing. And I believe that by faith, because I'm a testimony myself, a walk as a witness that God, that's what God, how God does. I pray that I said something to help that person to ask that question.
Amen.
Oh, yeah, I believe you did, man.
Amen. Then we have another question that was texted in. What if the covering pastor or ministry has no or low discernment? The pastor of the prophetess and her husband allowed the husband to speak to the prophetess. The pastor that killed himself asked the pastor if he could talk to his wife, and he said, sure, you can. That's your wife. Please clarify this. If their leader had a sharper discernment, could that incident have been prevented?
Say that again, Administrator Brad. I'm sorry. I missed something there.
Okay. The text that came in. What if the covering pastor or ministry has no or low discernment? The pastor of the prophetess and her husband allowed the husband to speak to the prophetess. The pastor that killed himself asked the pastor if he could talk to his wife, and he said, sure, you can, that's your wife. Please clarify this. If their leader had a sharper discernment, couldn't that incident been prevented?
Well, in that case, that's kind of a, well, this is new right here, what I'm hearing. So based upon what we're hearing, I'm trying to make sure I heard it. This is something that somebody heard that transpired. So they were separated. The pastor had to.
From what this text saying, they were separated. He wanted to talk to his wife. So the pastor of the church said, sure, you can talk to her. That's your wife.
Okay. See, now, that's what I kind of thought anyway. That's why I said, that's why I gave that analogy of the point. Okay. Because I knew that that's something deeper. Even when I looked at the picture and I saw both of them on a picture together, I looked at the picture together and I went, when I saw the picture. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for revealing that to me and whoever shared that. Thank you. Because I knew that it was something, and I knew it was something deeper than that going on. Now, to the pastor. The pastor that it doesn't take away the anointing on that pastor life or position, because he's in a very difficult position when his leader, and he's overseeing the man and the woman, when the husband asked the question, can I see my wife? And he said, sure, that's your wife. Now, it's the wife who had to say, you know, pastor, I don't want to see him. And then the pastor could step in and say no. Because had the pastor said no, follow me. Had that pastor who's over the boat said no, then she says, well, you didn't want me to talk to my pastor. Maybe we could have resolved something. See, that can go both ways. Now, in terms of discernment, we have to discern. But we can't. We don't go over the will of a husband and a wife. A lot of times, we don't go over their will. We obey God and do what the Lord said. But we don't go over the will of the people, because you can't. We don't go over that way. We can discern and say, okay, well, sister, brother, that's not the right direction. That's not the thing to do. Now, Could the pastor have dealt with that differently? Absolutely. I believe he could have dealt with that differently. But it was the woman of God who was married to the man of God should have said, you know what, pastor, I don't want him to talk to my husband. See, it have to be, see, we gotta help the help. This is making sense. Because a lot of times we want everything fall on a senior pastor or the person. That's not always the case. We're to watch over the soul. And I can tell you right now, there are hundreds of souls that I watched over that hated me, was upset with me, disappointed with me. But we watched over their soul. And we watched over their soul, but they had a problem with me. And there are people that I not only watched over, but prayed over their soul as well. Prayed and watched over their soul as well. And for a minute, they didn't care nothing I said until it happened. Then they appreciate me praying over the soul that's left because of what they had to go through because they didn't listen to the leader. So that's a lot that's in that. However, at the same time, thank God that she survived the situation at hand. Amen. And I just wanted to share that.
Amen.
I don't know if Apostle Simmons may want to say something. But go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, they said that they give clarity.
I'm sorry?
They said that gives clarity.
As prophet, you know, one of the things that I know that the enemy, what he tried to do anyway, because I hear it all the time among believers that are immature and then unbelievers. When incidents like these happen, especially the tragedy in the body of Christ, the enemy always uses it to flip-flop, because I think I said it earlier, to now pinpoint it back to put the blame on God. And then it puts people in a mindset, well, why God allowed this to happen? And this is where people are trying to fathom in the mind where is the discernment. If God knew this wasn't going to happen, why didn't he reveal it to nobody? And this is fathoming a lot of people's minds. So unbelievers look at this as the enemy now uses it as a mockery against the church because these are church folks. They are pastors or leaders. And I always take it back to the incident that happened in South Carolina when the young white boy went in and killed the pastor and all those other people that were sitting in their congregation on a Bible study night. He sat there almost an hour with them in that Bible study, and it goes back to, man, where is the discernment at? If God knew that this young man was going to come here to assassinate, kill these people in this church, nobody in here discerning that this young man ain't nothing, you ain't taking nothing out about him is unusual. Have a Caucasian ever been to your church and sit in your midst like this? Or is it strange for a young man to come and sit in your company, just sit, you know, question, he ain't asking no questions, he's just sitting there, nobody discerning, you know, whether he got anything on him. This is where, Prophet, you said we can't be suspicious, we got to be discerning. So I do believe, again, that God does give us a place of discernment to recognize what the enemy is doing and what he's about to do so we won't be caught off guard. But because we now, again, so caught up in the emotional height, we're caught up into our selfish motives, we're caught up into the competition, we're caught up in all of this stuff, man, and the enemy wreaking havoc right among us. So all of the blame points back to God. Now it puts people in a place of now questioning God, or they getting upset and bitter with God, angry with God, because they're saying, why God allowed this to happen if he's a mission God? Why all of this going on? Because the question I asked, I mean, one person, I got a feedback from another unbeliever, and he was like, well, it sounds like God or the Bible or Christian, it's like they contradicted themselves.
How can you be a good God then allow evil to take place? And, you know, I had to explain it to them to get them a better understanding, you know, how God operates and how the enemy operates. Some people just don't want to know. They just want excuses anyway. But I always believe in what you said, that God always gives us a place of discernment that we will recognize and we won't be ignorant to the enemy device. But going back to the man of God, I believe there was one article where, I don't know if they were the pastor, I know me and my wife read it, where the pastor said that they were led to stay behind. They didn't leave. They were led to stay behind. So when the incident took place, the Spirit led them to stay behind. So evidently, in the beginning, when it come back to this pastor again, I understand he was stepping back because this is this man's wife. But if you said it's an estranged relationship, estranged marriage, like you said, Prophet, if he had went and questioned the wife, well, do you want to talk to your husband? Do you want to see your husband? I know you want to get into marital affairs, but this is where you have to use the wisdom of God and discernment again to know when to step in, to know when to give wise counsel, and know when to get out of the way. So a lot of things can be avoided, I believe, because to go back again, God will not leave us ignorant. So I believe it's always the enemy to set up, to sabotage, to destroy, and then point the blame back to God. Why do you allow this to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Still there, Doctor?
Amen. Yeah. I mean, I was on mute.
There's a response to Apostle Simmons, some bishop out of Nevada. He says to your panel, to the apostle, that God bless you both. This has really blessed me on tonight, if I may say, by knowing and obeying the word of God. We will be trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. We will know God's character and will. This is the heart of spiritual discernment, being able to distinguish the voice of the world from the voice of God, to have a sense that this is right or this is wrong. Spiritual discernment fends off temptation and allows us to hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Romans 12:9. God bless you. A powerful question on tonight.
Man, that's good. You're on mute again, Doctor.
Apostle Simmons, praise the Lord.
Bless your very much, Will.
Yes, I was, Dr. Matthews, I'm listening to you and Dr. Matthews' dialogue along with the other people. Along with the other people that were speaking, one of the things that comes to me as I'm listening to this and administrator is filling me some in on the background, I'm thinking about the scripture that is coming to my mind. She explains that the pastor died, but the woman of God lived. And I'm thinking about to feed off of what you said, Apostle, about some people just go to church and they don't spend time with God. We may not know what was going on in the back, but I can say this.
That's it.
But I can say this. When one is really in tune with God, and I'm not saying that the man of God was not in tune with him.
Right.
I can't tell you just you say we'll know them by the fruit that they bear. And so if your fruit is bearing things that is against God's will, we can't help but to say that we know that they did not have the relationship that they should have had. And one of the things that I'm thinking about the woman of God, to me, the reason why she survived is because God said, if you touch anything deadly, it would not hurt you. And so I'm thinking when you're walking in the anointing of God, we have heard so many testimonies down through the years that people have come on, pull guns on them, and they shoot bullets, and the bullets never touch them. That stuff is not fake, because God can put angels, everybody, Jesus, he's a shield. He's our buckler. Hallelujah. He's our battle axe. And when you walk in the power of God, God is not, and he is the ultimate. He's the ultimate decision maker, whether you live or whether you die. And some people, when they die, God knows that they're not going to act right. I'm just saying, that's not in every situation. But he knows that they would not act right, so he has to let them go on into eternity, because that may be the saving of their soul because of that situation. We never know, because we're not at that final judgment. But when God has an assignment for somebody, you look at all the times that the apostles, they were, death was at their door, and the people wanted to kill them and did things to them. Even when Jesus was there, they took up stones to stone him, but they could not, because it was not his time. And so when it's not your time, God is not going to allow anything to hurt you or harm you, no matter how the enemy plots. It's a,
yeah.
I'm going to say this, and then I'm going back on mute. There is a gentleman in my building that I work in, and he was blown up. He was out in Desert Storm, not Desert Storm, in Afghanistan. And he was in, all the platoon and all the other people, some other people got killed. But he lost some parts of his vision. His face was all mutilated and different things. They did so many surgeries to reconstruct him. But the bottom line, a grenade hit his Jeep that he was in. I'm sure he should have been dead, but the man is still alive to tell you his testimony. Because why? It was not his time. So if God be for you, who can be against you? I'm going back on mute.
Amen. But we just thank God for the spirit, the presence of God covering her, because it was not her time. It was concerning the sign that God had his hand on the woman of God. But it is so important for believers and people. I'm just going to say people at all, because you don't necessarily have to be a believer for the Lord to send you a sign or to give you discerning of events and time. Of his will going to be done concerning your destiny, your life, your purpose in the event. So we just bless the Lord for the presence of God and the Spirit of God moving on and moving in this matter on the woman of God's behalf. So. And I said this, and I know many of you heard me say this. There's going to be three levels of counterfeit that we're going to meet. I said this in this year. It's going to be counterfeit. The first level going to look good, seem good, be good, but it's not. The next level going to look good, seem good, feel good, have all the things that good. It's not. The third level going to be almost like, ooh, you can't even tell me. I don't care what nobody's saying. Before I take it back, I do it again, and it's not. It's at that fourth level that you're going to really know what it is, what it is, that it is, that it is. And God's going to reveal itself to you, and you're going to see it. And you're going to see it in such a powerful way. Because one of the things about Jesus in the book of Matthew chapter 4, verse number 1 through 11, before he moved into going into a devil-free season, he was led up into the wilderness. Well, let me put it like this. He was led up of the spirit now, into the wilderness to be what? Tempted of the devil.
afterward he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. So we're not exempt to attempts on our life, no matter how deep, powerful the message is, how lives are changed, how many miracle signs and wonders are there. That does not stop the tempter. Not stop the tempter. He went through three phases. Satan told him, the bread, turn those stones to bread. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Stage two. He tempted him. Said, you should not tempt the Lord thy God. Number three. He went through each of these stages, three levels. It's after that level that he was able, and this is all spiritual realm, that he was able to move into a devil-free season because of everything that the enemy had done. God, in his omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent, will never leave you ignorant concerning Satan's device. I can say that unequivocally. October 6, 1996, I was in the car riding over a huge bridge 10,000 feet down below, and 1 week later, that week something happened in that car that almost took my life. I could say that. Was that a sign? Yep. Was that discernment? Yep. Did God show me? Yep. Did he tell me? Yep. Did he give me all the symptoms and let me know? Yep. Did he warn me? Yep. Did I almost die? Yep. Did he give me other signs? Yep. A week later, I went and got married. It ain't God's fault. Even after I fasted and went to prayer and said, Lord, I'm going to fast and see. I want to really be confirmed. You know how some people do another thing? I want to be for sure, unequivocally. What you do is really what you're doing is you're tempting God, man. Because a lot of us, we start to tempt God ourselves, okay? And you're just going over what I'm saying. So you're going, I'm showing you that this lady, this car accident was getting ready to kill you. You get ready to die, and you're going to be dead. So now you're going to go over that and then tempt me again to give you another sign. What greater sign can I give you? See, a lot of times we marry people because we needed to get us some. We connect to people because we get lonely. We with people because we don't want to be alone. That's not a reason to want those things. When God gives you a sign, that's the wonder. A sign is the wonder. Sign and the wonder. And oftentimes, because we speak in tongues, we can preach phenomenal, and we can move the mountain, it ain't going to take away the thorn from your side and that feeling that you have and that issue that's going on. And you have lots of preachers are preaching, trying to preach themselves out of what they're dealing with in their household, their family, or that what they're doing. And that is not ministry. That's misery. That ain't ministry. That's misery. And we got to be able to understand the will of God concerning our life and our destiny and the assignment for which the Lord given us or had for our life. Amen. But I just wanted to say that because oftentimes we misunderstand God in our walk with him, think we save and love him. He loves us. But he warns us at the same time. All right. Any other question from anybody? Anybody else got a question? Administrator Pye?
Yes, sir. One more question. This is to Evangelist Wilkes, one of her students that listened in to her. They wanted her to break down Hebrews 4 and 12.
I'm going to pull it up here. Amen. Oh, Father, thank you. Oh, come on. Hebrews 4:12. I'm going there.
The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any tool.
Okay. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All right? We said the word of God is quick. That means that it's right there. Take care of the matter right then and there. And it is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, we know that swords have a double edge on it. Some people don't see that. They just see a single edge. But when you look at one side and you look at the other side, and it's piercing and dividing and asunder of the soul and the spirit. This is a powerful statement within itself, because we know spirit has, you can't see spirit, and we can't see the soul either. But when God's word comes and divides asunder, that means to annihilate. That means to make sure that I got this one. Have a sunder of the soul and spirit, and then the joints of the marrow, and of the joints and marrow. We can't see the joints. We can't see the marrow of our bodies, but we know that it is there. The word of God knows exactly what is inside of us that needs to be taken out, that needs to be annihilated. Because sometimes we think that we know everything about ourselves, but we really don't. And that's why the Spirit of God is there to work quickly, to take it out, to clean us up, to bring things into the. And it says, even the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our heart. God, the Bible tells us that God knows our heart. That we know that we don't know our heart the way that God does. Because we can say one thing, and then God knows we're going to do something else. And so, therefore, when the word comes, it comes to do a job to get us right, to get us in alignment the way his will, his purpose, and his plan. So I don't think that this that when God put his word here for us, we need to make sure that we understand that this, I say this to myself oftentimes, I'd rather for God to judge me now, judge me later. So when the word comes, it comes to judge, annihilate all of the things that's inside of us. Especially when you want it to be cleansed. I don't think that no one should not want to be cleansed if they say they're going to be saved. You hear, if you the word comes, it should do just that. And if you allow the word to work in us, and we work with the word, amen, I think this scripture will be very fitting to clean our hearts. I'm going on mute.
Thank you.
Thank you, Evangelist. Well, any other questions or comments tonight from anybody? All right. Bless the Lord on tonight. For the questions and the comments that were made, thank God for those that are listening in. Thank you, Administrator Rita Bryant, and those in the pastor from out of town. We thank the Lord for you, sir. We honor the Lord for you as well, too. Apostle Simmons, you want to say something?
Mr. Prophet, man, I have so many questions, but I'm going to hold my for a minute. Just bless the Lord on tonight.
Amen. Amen. Give us a commercial, quick commercial, Minister Eddie Brown. Give us the two commercials.
You have reached Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministry, located at 231 East 146th Street, Harvey, Illinois, where Dr. LaRon Matthews is the senior pastor. I'm sorry your call can't be answered at this time, but your call is very important. Please leave your name, your number, and a brief message, and your call will be returned. If you desire to join us for service, our schedule is as follows. Sunday school starts at 9:30 a.m. until 10:45 a.m. Sunday at 11 a.m., it's the worship experience. Tuesday night at 7 p.m., prophetic teaching. Thursday night at 7 p.m., prophetic prayer. Time of intimacy with the Lord. Fourth Friday night at 7 p.m., monthly prophetic explosion service. Go to our website at www.werestoreyou.org or email us at werestoreyou@yahoo.com.
Prophet LaRon Matthews and Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries would like to thank you for your prayers and support. Prophet Matthews invites you to become a monthly partner to help reach souls of the nations all around the world. As a monthly partner with Prophet LaRon Matthews and Restoration Foundation, Prophetic International Ministries, you will be a vital part of the powerful end-time army that God is raising up to bring salvation, healing, and deliverance to the nations of this world. To help accomplish our God-ordained vision, you can sow your seed at www.werestoreyou.org. That's werestoretheletteryou.org. Or call 708-377-6774. Restoration Foundation Prophetic International Ministries is a 501c3 tax-exempt ministry. God bless you.
Amen. All right. Bless the people of God. Thank you, Administrator. Thank you, Apostle Simon. Thank you, Evangelist Carlina Wilkes. People of God, don't forget to join us tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. That will be a word from the Lord as we continue to share and expound on the word of God and bless the kingdom leader. We thank God for the thanks to God. If you want a copy of today's teaching in its entirety or the word that was shared on in the question and answering form, please feel free, excuse me, to do so, to get a copy of it in its entirety. We make it available to you in its entirety. It's free to you. If you are, interested in being a partner with us, a covenant partner with us, if you're ministering the word of God locally and around the world, please reach out to our office at 877-912-2027. Once again, 877-912-2027 to become one of our monthly covenant partners of the ministry. We appreciate everything that you have done so far this year, the people of God. We thank God for your fellowship and your divine connection. Also, if you're interested in sowing a seed to this ministry as we're blessing the people of God locally and globally around the world, you can go to our website at werestoreyou, that's the letter U, dot O-R-G. Werestoreyou, the letter U, dot O-R-G, and click on the donation button. Or you can go to Cash App and Money Sign, R-F-P-I-M, and sow that seed and be a blessing. We appreciate you all for joining us tonight. And also you can go to Zelle on your phone, Zelle at werestoreyou at yahoo.com. And so does he. Love you all, saints. Have a phenomenal night in the Lord and go in his power. We'll talk to you soon. Shalom in your court is my prayer. God bless you all.
I believe I will get there. I trust the path he's laid. I can't see him, but he's there. I'll just follow as he leads the way, because I know that
God will make a way.
Anybody believe that? I know that
God will.
And I know that
God will make a way.
to open the sea. I know I'll